In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Personality and psycho-emotional disorders.
I speak with you in a very summarized way about other hindrances for the personality. Spiritual hindrances, I will focus only, or I will mention only, addiction. Any kind of addiction changes the personality. Any kind of addiction, gambling, narcotics, sex addiction, even spending, gossiping, if you are addicted to any of those, you will distort your healthy personality. And people will see you so different. You might be a very warm and tender person. Gambling will change you. Most of the addictive personalities, you will find them with hidden agenda, vague. They can't open up. They can't disclose. Building walls around them. They could lie easily to cover up. They lose focus and concentration. And it could take them to an obsession. He'll be obsessed by the substance, or by the sex, or by gambling. And he might change to be an obsessive compulsive personality disorder. But in general, addiction is really destructive for the personality. You sit with anybody who's an addict, you discover you can't get through him. He has a hidden agenda. He's vague. And the partner always say that about them. Very secretive. Because they have a big secret inside them. They don't want to expose themselves. So, addiction by itself could disturb the personality. The other two areas, the personality disorders. Personality disorders mean these are diseases or disorders. Most of them develop in childhood and teenage, mostly childhood. Because you know, they were saying that personality 80% or 85% form till age 5 or 6. And now we have extended that to the adolescent area in which personality is still forming. And the rest, during adulthood, the rest 15%. In which you could change your personality at any time. But personality disorders are disturbing personality. They have names. We could have 19 of them. I'm not going to discuss all of them. Some of them are funny to talk about, but it's not funny to live with one of them. It's not funny. And they could be mixed easily with other psychiatric disorders. And some are living within us and nobody's noticing. Someone like dependent personality disorder. Someone who is depending on others. He can't make a decision. He always asks about even trifles. This is the way he was raised in parenting. He has to ask his parents or her parents, and her parents or his parents force them not to do anything unless he asks them first. And they don't teach them how to deal with life. Something could pass so easy, not as a disorder, but just a character. But it is. Avoid that personality disorder. Someone who's avoiding certain situation or persons, but to the extent that they are personality disorder, yes. Because the main character is avoidance. Try to avoid. I'm not going to discuss those, but let me take with you a paranoid personality disorder. The paranoid personality disorder, it could be mistaken with paranoid schizophrenia. The personality disorder in general, it doesn't get worse. All your life, you'll have a disorder. So the prognosis is better than the psycho-emotional disorders. Someone with schizophrenia, he will progress from bad to worse without the medication. But personality disorder, like a paranoid, he will continue all his life till he will die in the same level of the disorder. It is important to know that. Of course, some of those very specialized disorders, it needs an expert to diagnose it, not any psychiatric team. Someone who's familiar with those kinds. So, somebody has paranoia as a habit, as a character. He's always suspicious and doubtful. This is not paranoia personality disorder. So paranoia could be a character. Someone when he's driving is always suspicious. Somebody will hit him looking around him always. Feeling suspicious, looking to who is in the car driving and what he is doing or what she's doing. He is doubting and suspicious to the extent of paranoia. But paranoid personality disorder, someone will get somehow into one delusion. The delusion could be suspicion. So it's paranoid that people are following him. FBI is going after me. And it's not a fact. I mean, it's not real. But he's always fixed on one of these phobias, extremely paranoid about the FBI, which damages his personality or limits his functioning. When we reach schizophrenia, we see how to diagnose schizophrenia. We have something called, it's not written, called schizotypal personality disorder. They behave exactly like schizophrenia, but we don't have the two main diagnostic features, delusion and hallucination of schizophrenia. And anyway, we give them medication. Schizotypal personality disorder, type of schizophrenia. And there's something called schizoid personality disorder. Not schizotypal and not schizophrenia. And the thing you have, it is difficult to diagnose. Schizoid is someone who doesn't want to be involved, and you feel that He doesn't like people around him. He doesn't want to be involved. وخي قيام بكده الحياة كده يعني طب ليس نسي جيد It could be mixed with someone who's normal but limitations of the functioning of the person will tell the doctor he has a disorder. You know, in every group, in every church, you will find at least one, two, three borderline personality disorder. Did you do the figure attraction before? Did you see the movie? Did you hear about that? Yes. Probably in a week. That borderline percentage disorder affects mostly females. It's not funny, maybe, if you hear that. Those personalities, they were harshly abused during childhood. Emotionally, physically, or sexually. Harshly abused. And they were longing for the genuine love of parents and the outside. So when they grow up, they still long for love, affection, compassion, and understanding. And if they will find a guru of the church, very compassionate, very loving, very understanding father, they speak to him. A sponge which is absorbing abuna love to the extent they could suffocate abuna. He can't move. They are always with him. Going to his house. They move around him everywhere abuna goes, they are around him. And of course they are going to face a sorry one day. So he has to intervene because she's limiting the movement of the abuna. Abuna cannot get rid of her. They fear always, they fear abandonment, to be abandoned. The source of love, they fear that the source of love one day will leave them. What's wrong if any personality drained from abuna, Christian love, what's wrong? Nothing wrong, but in a pathological way, if she could call abuna 10 times a day, and she doesn't want anybody to get close to abuna except for her, Abuna will find himself one day, he has no time for her. He has other things to do. And that poor personality, she wants to see Christ in Abuna and his love expressed to her. Genuine Christian love. They function better if they will find a source of love and understanding, they could have a continue to be employed, they function better in their homes. One of the best sources of patience for the father of the church. If some fathers are lacking patience, we'll send them one case for the life of Jesus. And it will be very patient and kind, offering heart, Christ's love, and he will not try to dismiss her, let her go, she had trouble. وهو ده بقى يعني حاجة صعبة إن أبونا ما قدرش إلا أمشي في خلي تصوير يقول لها This is so common. It is common in all the churches and all society. Histrionic personality disorder, mostly also in females, mostly in females. Many of them, they have the appetite and size. And ممكن تنط على حاجات مفيش حاجة يعني إذا كان مش تيم تسيب الحاجات دي ممكن تنط على حاجات كتير خلاص يعني إذا كان القصة دي مش عاجباك مفيش حاجة خش حاجات كتير الناس اللي فين يعني عاوزين أنا بس بحضركم بتدريج نخش في حاجات أصلا Those young women at age during their adolescence, they were flattered by their parents how much she's pretty, how much she's charming, and she could get the best man ever. She deserved the best one. Her mother and her father are commending and praising her so much, flattering her. And if she will come and tell them about a young man who came after her to have something, her mother will encourage them. When they grow up, and even they are married, their look is someone who is very charming, but they have hidden seductive way of dealing with men. And the old, even the married women, they always throw in extra marital emotional affairs against their own good Christian principles. And in many of them, it goes beyond the emotional and the physical extramarital affairs against their own Christian principles. And they do not know what they are doing, but they are aware of what they are doing. So histrionic personality disorder are mostly females. Sometimes they show some hysterical anxiety, hysterical seizure when they are young. No seizures, epilepsy. But this is hysterical. For no reason, they go into contraction, and it's not a real epilepsy. But always after they finish the contraction, they cry. You could have sudden paraplegia, hemiplegia, sudden blindness, hysterical. They take the emergency room, paralyzed, coming out of the emergency room, healthy. This is histrionic. Now, what's coming now is the antisocial presents order most of the young men. Antisocial also due to abuse in childhood and the absence of a loving disciplinarian. Sometimes following the death of the father or absent father, physically absent, or psychically emotionally absent, they grow up unruly, they don't follow rules, very rebellious and unruly. When they grow up more, you will find them most probably involved in crimes. They go to jails, juvenile courts and jails. They can't follow any law or rule. Some of them are in Sunday schools. Some of our kids, they are hostile, hostile to others, very aggressive, and don't care. When they were young, if he would do something, his parents are not going to take him over. Even some of them, they pee on the pillow of their beds when they are 10 or 9, intentionally. You don't go to the washroom. And parents let him go. Sometimes they defecate on the pillow. 9 or 10. I'm giving you extremes of cases. Something very unusual. And they let it go. When they are 13, 14, 15, they beat up their parents. And they can't control them. They are against the society, the rules of the society. And always you'll find them reaching prisons and jails. Why? No discipline with love. We are not giving them, while they are your children during the parenting, how to follow rules. Discipline is so important. But not in aggression, but in love. You are aware of the narcissistic, right? You must think about a narcissistic. Who's a narcissist?
All of us.
I hope not. Narcissistic personality disorder. Most females. Self-centered. So self-centered. He minds himself only. Loves himself. So self-centered, that personality. They feel as if they have grandiosity. They feel as if they have supernatural powers or character far better than others, whether in computer, whether in administration, whether in power, muscular power. They feel that they are on top of everybody. If anybody antagonizes them, and they could reach top administrative position, if anybody would antagonize them just their opinion, we can deal with him in an extremely bad way. We put them down and turn aggressive. I remember a case of a very eminent servant in the church. He was narcissistic. And if his way is not followed, he will throw himself in the church on the carpet as if he had a heart attack. And everybody pitied him, sympathized with him, and he had nothing. in the altar. I mean, he could always was in trouble within the sanctuary area. So self-centered. So, are you narcissistic, Augustine? No, this is pathological. And selfishness, which is pathological. By the way, gender identity disorder in the DSM-3 was a personality disorder. Now, in DSM-4, TR, it is not. Diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders. The Bible of psychiatrists and psychologists, a book of diagnosis, how to diagnose with criteria any disorder. And the perverts managed to lobby within the psychiatrists to delete it from the DSM as a disorder. So it is not looked at as a disorder now, although maybe 10, 15 years ago it was a disorder. Gender identity disorder. I'm not going to discuss how it develops, theory or not, or homosexuality. PMS, personality disruption. People may say that you mean. PMS, personality disruption, the thing is a male or female.
What's it? Female.
Pre-menstrual. It has to be female. So, usually the time before the period, 3 or 4 days or 1 week, those young women will show certain signs. They feel tense, bloated, headache, nervous, cranky, depressed, critical. Better to be away from them. This will continue for 1 week before the onset of the period, and by the first or second day of the period, it will get less. But would you imagine 1 week every month you can't relate or you can't communicate with yourself? It's hell at home. Children and husband cannot communicate with their spouse. That's why we call it personality disruption. It's day and night, the first 2 weeks of the cycle, she's very good. The second 2 weeks, getting worse, the condition, then the last week, the top. It's hormonal, but it needs treatment. And you are losing 1/4 of your life, or up to 1/3 of your life with your spouse, without any ability to communicate, and she's very cranky and nervous. And of course, at the workplace, you could really know the time of the period. It's so obvious. Because after being so cranky every month, same time, I'm and she will get better. And everybody will rejoice the author of the period. They have to avoid during that part of the way before. Many hospitals will come to complain that they cannot deal with their wives. Now we have special clinics for females, and they take medications for their personality disruption. It affects the whole family. And we go with you to something emotional. And when the people present all this, any name mentioned, first we go on the internet if you are interested to know about the personality disorder. Personality disorders could take therapy for years to be treated, and some of them need medication. If you are suspicious that someone has a personality disorder, priests cannot treat personality disorders. Even older psychiatrists cannot treat personality disorder. They need someone who is specialized in dealing with those cases. When we read now, item by item, in the psycho-emotional disorders, sometimes we call it mental disorders, psycho-emotional, psychiatric, or mental disorders. The percentage of the mental disorders is 1 to 5% of the population. 1 to 5% of the population. I have chosen for you some of the most famous generalized anxiety disorder. Overheat, every part of the depression, bipolar, which is manic depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, schizophrenia or psychosis, and ADD, attention deficit disorder, or attention deficit hyperactive disorder, in childhood and adult. Now, why we are interested in discussing something like that, psycho-emotional disorder? Because it affects the personality. It affects life. Why do we have to know about it? Why do we have to know about this psycho-emotional disorder? Because if one of them is in a family, he needs or she needs to be fully understood. We need to understand the nature of that disease. He or she could be a suffering, a source of suffering to the family, and he or she themselves are suffering. Certain lifestyle for the family is going to be set. If one is depressed, depression is infectious, contagious. Everybody around will feel depressed and sad. And anxiety also is contagious. If one has an anxiety speaking to you, you will get anxious. So we could affect the family, we need to understand that. And number two, the majority are genetic inheritance. Genetically inherited, and after marriage, children could inherit the disease. That's why if you are sick you have any of those serious disorders, I'm going to tell you what it is. It must be disclosed to the future spouse during the engagement. Or else, if you are taking medication treatment and you will not disclose that before the marriage, it could be a case of annulment in the church. Because you deceive your partner, because this is going to affect future marriage, no matter what. In particular, the psychosis, schizophrenia, and the bipolar, which is the manic depression. Those two in particular. If you don't disclose them before the wedding, your spouse would ask for a moment. So we have to understand the nature of the disease or disorder in order to know how to deal, to heal from them, and to deal with them, to protect them from others. Everybody could suffer in the family. And number two, the genetic inheritance, and then the position of the church regarding those people who deceive their fiancé by not telling them. Okay, we'll read one by one. Do you have your handouts? I wish you had it all of you. Because we'll read one by one. And you will see certain criteria for diagnosis. It cannot be left for someone. This is from the text, from the DSM. So you will find exactly this condition has to stay there for 2 weeks, or 1 month, or 3 months. 3 or 4 of the following criteria must be there. It's so easy. You will not be psychiatrist, but if you face one of those in the process of joining your life to someone, be careful. The first one is generalized and anxiety disorder. We'll read it. Let us see.
Diagnostic criteria for generalized anxiety disorder. Excessive anxiety and worry, apprehensive expectation, occurring more days than not for at least 6 months about a number of events or activities. About a number of events or activities such as work or school performance. B. The person finds it difficult to control the worry. C. The anxiety and worry are associated with 3 or more of the following 6 symptoms.
How many now? How minimum? Duration?
6 months.
6 months. And then you would choose at least 3 of the following.
Restlessness or feeling keyed up on the, or on the edge. Being easily fatigued. Difficulty concentrating or mind going blank. Irritability. Muscle tension. Sleep disturbance, which is difficulty following your staying asleep.
Anxiety, the word anxiety, worry, fear from something which might happen. Some people are anxious by nature, not pathological. You could be anxious in certain situations, which is not pathological, not a disease. But generalized anxiety disorder, continuous anxiety for over 6 months, in which you have 3 criteria of which mentioned, you need medication. There are generalized anxiety disorder with children and adults. It is in children too. Anxiety, if it goes more, it will cause panic. We've got an anxiety panic attack. those with panic attacks, they go to emergency rooms, feel that they might have heart attack. They can't take a deep breath. Extreme headache, and they're feeling a stroke. Signs which could simulate something serious. It is a panic attack. When you go to the emergency room, they try to exclude those dangerous diagnoses, and if everything is okay, then it is panic attack. Panic attack is extreme anxiety which causes signs and symptoms, respiratory, cardiovascular, gastrointestinal, and you feel as if you are going to faint. Your heart is so fast, you're breathing, you can't take a deep breath, severe headache, sinking sensation in your stomach. If you are driving, you have to stop the car, you can't continue. At least every one of those went to the hospital more than one time, emergency room. At least. And then they come for treatment. There is treatment for generalized anxiety disorder and medication with psychotherapy and for the panic attack. Now, if an anxiety will increase more, you have an anxiety, you have panic attacks, then you have something called hypomania. It's less than mania. And then the top is mania. Mania is the highest level of anxiety. And we will read later on manifestation of a manic attack of mania. So that here the anxiety starts by just an anxiety, then the anxiety panic attack, then hypomania, and the top is the manic manifestation of anxiety. حيالي قلولي بقى أنا شديد. Why do they give the medication for an anxiety? And the question is an anxiety and a depression associated with less trust in God? الإيمان بتاعنا مش حلو مش كويس. Could faith cure an anxiety depression? The same question could be, could faith heal cancer? Do we have to go to see doctors in case of cancer? Or you depend on just your prayer. That yoga. Cancer is a disease. Many of the disorders are diseases. It's all, these are not bad cells. Psycho-emotional disorders, the skin can imbalance it. And when you take medication, you get better. If you have hyperacidity and ulcer, you go to a doctor. Why there is a stigma associated with someone who has psycho-emotional disorder? It's an organ disease which could be treated better than to stay without it. Medications for an anxiety, depression, are not addictive. It's not like anything. Then we're going to be asked again, do I have to take medication? You don't have to. Unless you feel you can't function. Most of us fear taking medications But if you are not functioning and your life becomes miserable, this medication I'm going to tell you about, those medications for anxiety and depression are not addictive. You don't depend on them. And there are something called neurotransmitters in the brain. They transmit the electric impulses between the cells of the brain. Because of the stress, sometimes these neurotransmitters are not secreted in the appropriate amount. We give medication so these neurotransmitters will be secreted as normal. Then those medications are not tranquilizers. These are medications which help the brain cells to secrete the neurotransmitters needed to deal with the emotional interactions, focusing and alertness and calmness in the body.
Sorry, but doesn't those medications create dependence? And later on, like statistically, you showed that a lot of the suicides that have been happening, all these people have already been on antidepressants?
No. When someone prescribes SSRIs, like Prozac, unless you need it, don't take it. But if you are not functioning, then you have to take medication. The first week of taking the medication is crucial. If you find that certain symptoms are increasing, it has to be changed, something else. You have to take at least the SSRIs. So it's not at all right for your anxiety and depression to continue and get worse and continue taking the medication. The medication shows its effect after at least 4 to 6 weeks of intake. It's not an aspirin, you take it, then certain symptoms diminish. It has to build up certain concentration in the blood. Could you depend on it? Which means, are they addictive? Addiction on a substance means the amount of the substance you are taking will produce certain effects. If you continue taking it for a month, you have to increase the dose in order to get the same effect. After 5 months, you have to increase the dose to get the same effect. This is not the medication. You can take one dose, which is a therapeutic dose, for 10 years without increasing it. But do you want me to depend on it? It's not dependence. Someone has diabetes. He's depending on taking insulin. Well, then, okay, if you don't like it, stop it. His body is working properly if you take insulin injection. Is he addicted to insulin? So, if you take some vitamins because you need for your body, is that addictive medication? And you take it, say, for 20 years, every day or 10 minutes. It's the same concept. SSRIs, those kind of medications I mentioned, they are not addictive. I know people who are taking it for years and years, because it adjusts the secretion of the normal transmitters of the brain. the only side effects of it, sometimes it diminishes sexual desires. Actually, it's well needed for some people. Some of those medications, not all of them, are associated with some water retention, so increasing the body weight. Not all of them, some of them. And those are the medications we use to treat ADD, attention deficit disorder in adults, because they increase attention ability to pay attention and focus and concentrate. Anyone going to the board test, which is very difficult, I prefer to take one of those medications at least 4 months before the test. So the test anxiety will be less, and we'll be able more to focus and concentrate and work his mind. Nothing wrong in using PDT or that different medication. Would we go for the other ones out there?
Diagnostic criteria for obsessive compulsive disorder? Either obsessions or compulsions? Page 15. Obsessions as defined by 1, 2, 3, and 4, recurrent and persistent thoughts, impulses, or images that are experienced at some time during the disturbance as intrusive and inappropriate and that cause marked anxiety or distress. Number 2, the thoughts, impulses, or images are not simply excessive worries about real life problems. Number 3, the person attempts to ignore or suppress such thoughts, impulses, or image, or to neutralize them with some other thought or action. And number 4, the person recognizes that the obsessional thoughts, impulses, or images are a product of his or her own mind, not imposed from without, as in thought insertion or schizophrenia.
And give an idea about obsessive compulsive. Two parts of that disease disorder, the obsession and the compulsion. The obsession is an idea, or a thought, or an image, or an impulse, which I'm obsessed with it. I will give you an example. And compulsive part, I am compulsed to do a certain behavior. An idea is an obsession, the behavior is a compulsion. So obsessive compulsive disorder is someone who is obsessed by an idea or a thought, haunting him, and then he will go to do certain action. Someone feels this room is full of germs and bacteria. Someone feels that the lock of the door is not clean. Someone feels when he's sitting close by somebody else, that somebody else may be sick and the germs will come from him to me. Somebody feels that my hands must be cleansed because germs are around my hands. It's an idea. What is the behavior? I will leave the room. I will wash my hands 40 times a day. I will take 7 showers a day. Someone, his obsession could be the idea which is haunting him, that the blood corpuscles are moving inside his blood vessels and he's aware of its movement. And then he's thinking that those blood corpuscles are moving in the blood vessels, and they will come to a junction and they will cause a clot. This is the obsession, is fear. Someone feels that the sperms are moving in the ducts inside his body. It's an idea, an impulse, a thought. Then what would be the behavior? He would behave in a weird way, depending on how to protect himself. And these ideas, he knows it's coming to his mind. Whatever he wants to stop it, he can't. He can't stop the obsession of the idea. Someone is obsessed and has an idea that some of his organs are going to drop from his place. Internal organ or external organ are going to disappear. He goes to so many doctors to tell him, no, it is there. But he's obsessed that the kidney will drop, the liver will drop from his face. His testicles are going to disappear. Except the organs are not there anymore. An obsession. So, yeah, the most famous of those obsessions, which everybody will go through it, you know, they are not sick for the people, I mean, some of you will do that. Before you go to sleep, you check for the windows and doors. Before leaving home, you check for the kitchen to see whether something is on or not. You let the stove on, the oven is on. And when you go out of your house, you still, maybe it's still on. You go back and open the door and go and see whether it's on or not. And you go and open the closets. Maybe somebody is in one of the closets. How do you? How many times do you check whether you have closed the door after you leave home? You are in the car, but you think maybe it's not closed at night. You go and turn around. Is it closed or not? Or someone, after closing the door with the key, he has to shake the door. It's not a habit. He fears that it might not. So, idea, which is the obsession, maybe I left the cooker on the stove on. Behavior, I go so many times to check for it. And is that a pathology? Yes. It's annoying. It takes time from you as a mentally. So obsessive compulsive, obsession is an idea which throws the impersonal image from my mind, and compulsion is a behavior associated with it.
Compulsion, number one, is repetitive behavior like hand washing, ordering, checking, or mental acts, praying, counting, repeating words silently. That the person feels driven to perform in response to an obsession or according to rules that must be applied rigidly. Number two, the behaviors or mental acts are aimed at preventing or reducing the stress or preventing some dreaded event or situation. However, these behaviors or mental acts either are not connected in a realistic way with that they are designed to neutralize or prevent or are purely excessive. Sometimes during the course of the disorder, the person has recognized that the obsessions or compulsions are excessive or unreasonable. The obsessions or compulsions caused marked distress are time-consuming or significantly interfere with the person's normal routine, occupational, academic functioning, or usual social activities or relationships. The disturbance is not due to the direct physiological effects of a substance or a general medical condition.
That condition is treatable by medication and psychotherapy, but in certain cases it is so difficult. Obsessive compulsive personality disorder, look at me now, obsessive compulsive personality disorders usually associated with perfectionist personality. They are so meticulous. They work organization to the extent of obsession. They are obsessed by organization. Someone is obsessed by cleaning. If a drop of water is on the counter close to the sink, it's a problem. He goes wiping and cleaning. He's obsessed by cleaning. He's a perfectionist. But when it turns to an obsession, that an anxiety will set in if everything is not, if everything is not clean, then you are turning into obsessive compulsive. And you could have an obsessive compulsive personality disorder, mostly at work. You find someone workaholic, he is obsessed by perfectionism in his work. If a boss is like that, he will turn the environment hell for those under him. Because he works and works maybe 15 hours a day, but you work 8 hours, only 2 hours. You say, why you don't work? And if anything is not perfect, it's more than perfectionism, it's an obsession. And it is part of his personality now. He will get anxious if something is not perfect for him. So you have perfectionism, you have obsessive compulsive disorder, which you are describing, and you have obsessive compulsive personality disorder.
Criteria for major depression episode.
It's not ideal, it's normal.
5 or more of the following symptoms have been present during the same 2-week period and represent a change from previous functioning. At least one of the symptoms is either 1, depressed mood, or 2, loss of interest or pleasure.
I mean, the can do.
Number 1, could be depressed mood or loss of interest or pleasure. Okay. Number 1, depressed mood most of the day, nearly every day, as indicated by either subjective report, which means feel sad or empty, or observation made by others, which means you appear cheerful. Number 2, markedly diminished interest or pleasure in all or almost all activities, most of the day, nearly every day, as indicated by either subjective account or observation made by others. Number 3, significant weight loss when not dieting or weight gain. Example, a change of more than 5% of body weight in a month.
Not in the Egyptian.
Or a decrease or increase in appetite nearly every day. Number 4, insomnia or hypersomnia nearly every day. Number 5, psychomotor agitation or retardation nearly every day, observable by others, not merely subjective feelings or of restlessness or being slowed down. Number 6, fatigue or loss of energy nearly every day. 7, feelings of worthlessness or excessive or inappropriate guilt, which may be delusional, nearly every day, not merely self-reproach or guilt about being sick. 2nd to last one.
How many now?
1, 2, 3, 4.
How many you have to find?
Oh, you have to find 5.
How many criteria you have to find in a patient to see that he has major depressive disorder? 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5 For how long? Not every depression is a major depressive episode. Yeah. So many kinds of depression, but we're talking about an episode which sometimes needs hospitalization. You must find five of those, 9 or 10 criteria.
Diminished ability to think or concentrate, or indecisiveness nearly every day, either by subjective account or as observed by others. Last one, recurrent thoughts of death, not just fear of dying, recurrent suicidal ideation without a specific plan, or a suicide attempt or a specific plan for committing suicide. The symptoms cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. The disturbance is not due to the direct physiological effects of a substance, like drugs, or a general medical condition, like hyperthyroidism.
So, depression is treatable. Please, I shall come to it. Some priests or clergymen are against meditation, and they regard anyone who is depressed or have an anxiety that he needs more faith. Faith in God will cure them. Yes, we have situations of an anxiety or depression, we don't give meditation for them. But it is pathological. He needs to give medication. Some patients, in after the direction of the clergyman, they refuse to take medication. They are out of job for 5 years because they are so depressed. And they have the guilt that they are not a true believer. I mean, there are monks who have depression and they are so good with God. It has nothing to do with your level of faith. It is pathological. But some situations, I mean, you lose someone, departure of someone, failure in a test, broken relationship, or a broken heart. Fine, I mean, abuna and your faith could help you in that without medication. Although sometimes we give medication if the depression, the sadness will continue for years after the loss of someone. So we have to make a distinction between the disease and some situation associated with a situation or event.
Diagnostic criteria for manic episodes. A distinct period of abnormally and persistently elevated expansion or irritable mood lasting at least 1 week or any duration if hospitalization is necessary. During the period of mood disturbance, 3 or more of the following symptoms have persisted and have been present to a significant degree. Number 1, inflated self-esteem or grandiosity. 2, decreased need for sleep. Example, feels rested after only 3 hours of sleep. Number 3, more talkative than usual or pressure to keep talking. Number 4, flight of ideas or subjective experience that soft thoughts are racing. Number 5, distractibility. Example, attention too easily drawn to unimportant or irrelevant external stimulus. Number 6, increase in goal-directed activity, either socially, at work, or school, or sexually, or psychomotor agitation. Last one, excessive involvement in pleasurable activities that have a high potential for painful consequences. Example, engaging unrestrained buying sprees, sexual indiscretions, or foolish business investments. The mood disturbance is sufficiently severe to cause marked impairment in occupational functioning or usual social activities or relationships with others, or to necessitate hospitalization to prevent harm to self or others, or there are psychotic features. The symptoms are not due to the direct physiological effects of a substance, example drug, medication, or other treatment, or a general medical condition like hyperthyroidism.
So this is a diagnostic criteria for a manic attack. You diagnose bipolar, manic depression. There has to be at least one attack with this description. Three or more of what was mentioned for 1 week. Mostly they need hospitalization if it would happen. And if we have, this attack would be once every 10 years or once every month. It depends. I told you anxiety, panic, hypomania, anemia. Someone who's so decent, I know an energy, all of a sudden, he went to buy a lot for $4 million. He has no money. During the manic attack, he went and he bought a place, a land, this land, to build on it, whatever, medical building. When he is not manic, he will not buy it. Someone will go into certain unusual behaviors which he will not do it when he is not manic. Those people in general, they don't sleep. I mean, 3 hours is quite sufficient for them to continue all the day working. And their mind is always working with slight ideas. And during the manifestation of the attack, he could talk continuously for hours, and you can't stop them. So if somebody has to call it manic attack, with a depression or with bipolar, which is mania and depression, period of increased anxiety with period of depression. It could be most anxiety or most depression, or waves of anxiety, then waves of depression. We go to the psychosis.
Schizophrenia. Characteristic symptoms. Two or more of the following each presents for a significant portion of time during 1 month period. Number one, delusions. Two, hallucinations. Three, disorganized speech. Example, frequent derailments or incoherence. Number four, grossly disorganized or catatonic behavior. Number five, negative symptoms, i.e. affective flattening, alogia, or abolition. Social occupational dysfunction. For a significant portion of the time since the onset of the disturbance, one or more major areas of functioning such as work, interpersonal relations, or self-care are marked below the level achieved prior to the onset, or when the onset is in childhood or adolescence, failure to achieve expected level of interpersonal, academic, or occupational achievement. Duration. Continuous signs of the disturbance persist for at least 6 months. This 6 month period must include at least 1 month of symptoms, or less if successively treated, that meet criterion A, i.e. active phase symptoms, and may include periods of prodromal or residual symptoms. During these prodromal or residual periods, the signs of the disturbance may be manifested by only negative symptoms or two or more symptoms listed in criterion A, present in an attenuated form, example, odd beliefs, unusual perceptual experiences. Substance, general medical condition exclusion. The disturbance is not due to the direct physiological effects of a substance, i.e. the drug abuse or medication, or a general medical condition.
In schizophrenia or psychosis, I give you just one idea, please. I want to finish with the lie. Please. The patient the psychotic patient is a patient who shows islands. It is a thought process. It's a disease of thinking. Psychosis is a disease affecting thinking. So he would show certain islands in his thinking in which he will go to the unreal world. And then he will return back to the real world. And if it's not treated, the island gets more and more and more. The patient will go into the unreal world, away from reality, gradually, gradually, till he will live in total unreal world. Two main criteria we look for: delusions and hallucinations. Delusions is a firm false belief which you cannot at all change his or her opinion about that. Give him all the documentation. He is not sick, but he has delusion. He has cancer somewhere in his body. She has jealousy delusion. Her husband is flirting with somebody else. Her husband is going somewhere. Or his wife must be with somebody now. I know someone who always calls his wife on her cell phone 30, 40 times a day to check on her, where she is right now, why she is taking a test, a written test. She called her at least 4 times and knows exactly the time of the test. He goes to check on her car, where she is, in a pathological way, jealousy delusion, or paranoia, the KGB or the FBI, false firm belief. Someone is spying on me. He's trying to send certain rays to kill me. He is in another country, but he's able to send his rays and to get into me through the TV set or through the dish. And the only way, maybe if I put it off, still the rays will come. The only way is to go and cut the wire connecting the dish to the TV set. A false, firm belief. It's false and firm. I am Cleopatra. Try to prove to me. So, and somebody will tell me that he's Moses. Someone who's in Florida, our church in Florida. He comes every Sunday wearing clothes of Moses and two guards wearing pharaonic dresses. And he will go on top and start preaching the people in the parking lot.
Too bad.
Yes. They are very intelligent. The psychotic people are very intelligent. But they go into the unreal film possibly delusion. There's so many kinds of delusion. Hallucinations are either auditory hallucinations, they hear the voices which is not there. Or visual, they see something no one else will see. Or tactile, they feel. Or taste, or smell, or factory. They smell something nobody will smell. And in that particular hallucination, some religious people are so into that, they are schizophrenic. They see Virgin Mary and Pope Corollus and odors and smell incense. And nobody around them, or their behavior and action, or their level of spirituality allow that. So we have to discern between schizophrenia and those who are living so high in spirituality. And jump and church all with them. So gifts will come and we'll see if it's really schizophrenic or not. Psychosis. You have delusion and hesitation, other criteria as you have seen. For how long this has to continue to diagnose? One continuous month within a time of 6 months. I mean, don't rush into diagnosing psychosis. Because if someone is going in the street talking to himself, or this is for real, someone at age about 45, 50, I'm going to make a serious challenge. He will get a little ill. Abuna came to my house and he took a picture for me while I was knitting. And she went to the church. He was under that very false belief. And she was screaming, Ayy Abuna, Ayy Abuna. And why is he praying? Someone could come and tear the icons and scream. These are behaved with the under a firm belief that maybe the icons has something to do with whatever. So psychosis, schizophrenia, there's so many different types, but we go for delusion and hallucination and other criteria. Now the last one is ADD.
Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Either one or two. Six or more of the following symptoms of inattention have persisted for at least 6 months to a degree that is made maladaptive and inconsistent with developmental level. Inattention. Often fails to give close attention to details or makes careless mistakes in schoolwork, work, or other activities. Two, often has difficulty sustaining attention in tasks or play activities. Number three, often does not seem to listen when spoken to directly.
Most men like that.
Number four,
with their wife.
And see, most husbands are like that. While their wives are talking to them.
Okay, number four. Number four. Often does not follow through on instructions and fails to finish schoolwork, chores, or duties in the workplace, not due to oppositional behavior or failure to understand instructions. Often has difficulty organizing tasks and activities. Often avoids, dislikes, or is reluctant to engage in tasks that require sustained mental effort, such as schoolwork or homework. Often loses things necessary for tasks or activities, example toys, school assignments, pencils, books, tools. Is often easily distracted by extraneous stimuli and is often forgetful in daily activities. Six or more of the following symptoms of hyperactivity impulsivity have persisted for at least 6 months to a degree that is maladaptive or inconvenient with developmental level. Hyperactivity. Often fidgets with hands or feet or squirms in seat. Number two, often leaves seats in classroom or in other situations in which remaining seat is expected. Often runs about or climbs excessively in situations in which it is inappropriate. In adolescents or adults, may be limited to subjective feelings of restlessness. Often has difficulty playing or engaging in leisure activities quietly. Is often on the go or often acts as if driven by a motor. And often talks excessively. Impulsivity. Often blurts out answers before questions have been completed. Often has difficulty awaiting turn. Often interrupts or intrudes on others. Example, butts into conversations or games.
So this diagnosis of ADD ADD in adults, ADHD in childhood, attention deficit disorder, inability to pay attention for some time, more than 15 minutes, delusion. Yeah, some of you could lose attention and get distracted after 5, 10, 15 minutes from the start of the program. If you will continue paying attention for 45 minutes, you cannot have attention deficit. Attention deficit or distractibility, impulsivity, and hyperactivity. Children, they start diagnosing that when they go to the first grade. The teacher will report to the parents that the child is not focused, is not paying attention to her while he or she is in the class. Participation in the class is diminished. Distractibility. You have, for adults, you have inner distractibility and outer distractibility. Distracted by something around you or distracted by your own thoughts. If you have an ADD, you cannot say the following features are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in your mind. When you are number 2, you will be distracted with number 3 or number 4. Distractibility inner or outer. You have criteria for distractibility. You choose from them. Hyperactivity, mostly children. And when you go to adulthood, this hyperactivity is not there. Even childhood sometimes is not there. So we diagnose by paying, lack of paying attention, distractibility, and impulsivity. Hyperactivity, distraction, hyperactivity means it could be there or not. This description applies to children and adults. But the medication needed for children is different than the adults. Medication helps the patient tremendously. In 1 week, the school will report that he's getting better. He could pay attention in the class, and he could sit in his place before he was unable to sit quiet. So the teacher will know most probably he took medication. The treatment for children now is not the only increase, and in Egypt they do not know about it. كل واحد شيء يبقى عيان يضرب يتزلل في الكلاس يقطع حيطه يرفع يده وهو بس يقول طيب انا عنده اي دي وفي اتش دي. If we don't treat those young children, most probably when they will reach high school, they will go with the wrong crowd. They feel we belong to the wrong crowd, not the intelligent, smart people. Although they are very smart, and they can't use their smartness, because they are lacking certain chemicals. If they take it, no side effects. If they do not take it, you feel that they are stupid, very low self-esteem, and they are unable to improve or go academically. Describe that they are dumb, so they will go with the wrong crowd. In high school, they will use drugs if they are not treated. It's 1 pill a day. It will help him to get his confidence in himself and the intelligence God gave him. It is a sin if a parent will not give to his own child, because he will leave him. I'm sorry, some of the parents fear giving the medication and then review their own children because they are not academically good. And everybody is punishing them because they are hyperactive. In the school, or at home, or in Sunday school, because of disruption. If that child will take a medication, will be so polite, in the high school. Skip about to see the Lord. Don't give your children on weekends. Why? In the church, they're going to pay attention. See the young deacons, how they are behaving. Be suspicious. If one of them will lose attention after 5 or 10 minutes and start to play with around him, he might be hyperactive. Hyperactivity only does not diagnose. But there has to be distractibility, impulsivity with or without hyperactivity. If you, now as adults, if you were unable to achieve academically, you're struggling academically, ask your parents, was I hyperactive child? Most probably, you have ADD now. You will not get better. You will continue also not focusing, don't even pay attention. You forget. You write the tell you give me 5 things, you forget to get her only 1 thing. And not intentional, you are unable. She has to call you when you are in the drugstore or the department store. Don't forget to get me such and such. I told you in the morning. Unless she would call him, he will never get it. Because he has ADD. And the treatment is so simple. Like an anxiety depression. There's a book called Honey, Are You Listening? About ADD or adults. Because it's so different there. You are another world. God bless you. Take care of yourself. And when you are going to find the appropriate name, take care of yourself.